Hey, if you missed part one of our massive four-part trade deadline podcast here on the BS Podcast, you can find it on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. It's the Bill Simmons Podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Vrbo. You know, it is stressful enough just with the airport situation. No matter where you're going, it's always packed. You're always worried the weather might be bad. Is my plane going to get delayed? You just want the actual place you're staying at to be a lights out experience. So if you've booked a vacation rental and you found yourself stuck making small talk with the host, or you've arrived to find out it doesn't look anything like the pictures, you know, that's the worst. You could avoid the awkwardness with Vrbo. Vrbo has helped travelers find great private vacation rentals for nearly 30 years. You heard me correctly. So while other vacation rentals can feel like a roll of the dice, relax knowing you booked a Vrbo. Book your private vacation rental in the Vrbo app. All right, part two of the Trade Deadline Palooza pod. You can check out part one on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Rob Mahoney has left us. Big Waz has joined us. KOC, we were talking right before we started taping about the Derek White trade, which turned out to be Josh Richardson, who was playing well, Romeo Langford, who was not playing well, and a protected 2022 first for Derek White, a defensive good teammate, combo guard guy. The Celtics already have a guy like that, Marcus Smart. My instinct, and we only have 33 minutes here until the deadline, my instinct was like, wait a second, is this paving the way for a Marcus Smart trade? You felt the same way.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I mean, we heard the Minnesota rumblings that they really, really like Marcus Smart. So maybe there could be something there before the deadline. But ultimately here, like even if you're keeping those guys, having Derek White, he brings those similar qualities as Marcus Smart with his defensive ability. He's just a more reliable shooter over the duration of his career, even though he's not shooting well so far this season. I like Derek White. I don't love Derek White, but I think for Boston, this is a nice addition. But giving up the pick, though, I mean, the 2022 draft might not necessarily be deep. But giving that up when Josh Richardson has been playing so well, that does sting a little bit. But White's a good player.
You guys have Stockholm Syndrome. You know the Celtics are allowed to have more than one good guard, right?
Well, I find it hard to believe.
So if we get one guy, we have to trade this other guy, right? There's only you only play one guard, right?
I think Derek White and Marcus Smart together is kind of a weird fit to me, I guess would be
I agree.
My counter. But I think Derek White is a guy who could absolutely be one of your three guards in a round two playoff series. And he's, by all accounts, a beloved Spurs culture guy. We've seen him play some USA stuff and things like that. So we'll see. Right now it is 11:28, 32 minutes to go at the deadline. We'll see what happens. All right, Waz, give us your Harden Simmons take.
Of course. First, I want to know, though, will Derek White put Jaylen Brown in a headlock in the locker room? Because that's important if he's going to be Marcus Smart's replacement. That's a big deal to know. Well, you know, my Sixers, Simmons, Harden, Morey take is that all three of their hubris was rewarded, right? Ben Simmons demands a trade with 4 years left on his deal after stinking up the joint. He gets what he wants in a bigger market with less noise media-wise, less scrutiny, with two guys that absolutely will do all of the heavy lifting for him when it comes to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. So I think he's in an ideal spot. He's only going to be asked to do the things that he's already good at, which is all Ben Simmons wants to do anyway, right? Like, we know he doesn't want to improve his game. He doesn't want to get better. He wants to be Ben Simmons, get paid the max to do what he already does. Of course, Daryl held on to this asset that we all thought was extremely distressed, and he ends up with a guy who won an MVP just a few years ago, isn't obviously an all-star level player even still. And of course, James Harden gets to blame everybody else for his problems and ends up back on another good team, ready for playoff success. Like, everybody won while being completely kind of ridiculous throughout this entire ordeal.
Do you feel like James Harden is Chris's spirit animal now?
Chris,
you gonna grow a beard? What happens?
if I grow a beard, it's disturbing. Yeah.
Is Chris gonna fly to the Bahamas the next time the Ringer has a 4-day break, then come back and be completely trash and podcast for the next 10 days?
Yeah.
I don't know. Then maybe he will be channeling the spirit of one of his new guys.
Did an MRI on Chris's larynx and there was some tightness, so we're going to give him a week off so he works it out.
Yeah. When do we get an update on James Harden's hamstrings?
And the hand,
so worried
right?
about them.
That's
yeah,
right.
And his strained hand. And did you know that the hamstring that he said was hurt this time was different than the hamstring from last year? I looked this up. I was Googling James Harden right hamstring and James Harden left hamstring.
Well, because he was probably favoring the other hamstring too much. You know, Bill, you got to know about like isometrics and the way kinetics work in the body. If you're going to weigh in on something like this, at least have the facts, man.
It's fair. I was thinking about
how dare you insult James Harden?
This guy's quite a run for his hamstrings. I remember
Chris has perfected the angry sports Twitter person to a T. That's amazing. I love
Twitter.
It.
Twitter CR is the best. I remember So I started playing fantasy basketball mid-late 80s. But in the 90s, Kevin Johnson, who when he played would get like 23 and 10 and was like a borderline first round pick. But he would always have hamstring stuff. And it got to the point where if you drafted him, the other people in the room would just start making hamstring jokes. I don't know with Harden, is this a one-time thing? Is this just who he is now? Is he in shape? Or, you know, like the irony of all of this is we do the, you know, month after month, the trade watch, and it finally happens. And then Harden ends up not being healthy when he's on the Sixers. I don't have a feel for it. We were talking about part one. There's a scenario where Harden just shows up and he's fucking awesome, like immediately, you know, because we've seen him do that. There's also a scenario where it's like we watch him for a few games and we go, oh man, maybe he wasn't kind of tanking it as much as we thought. Maybe he's at a different point in his career. He's going to be 33 this year. You know, I don't know what to me, between him and Simmons, there are more possibilities with both guys, how they're going to play, than I can remember from a trade like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's all of that. Of course, I was racking my brain for the last time James Harden came through for a team in the playoffs, and it was 2012 against the Spurs. Like, he was incredible.
Wow.
When they won those four straight games against the San Antonio Spurs. Of course, people famously remember him, you know, not showing up in the finals, but whatever. In the conference finals against the Spurs, he was dope. But it's been playoff disappointment after playoff disappointment besides that. And then, of course, you have to consider that he opted into his $47 million, which we all know there's a wink, wink. He's going to get paid the max after that deal. Like, there's no way he opts into that without an agreement that Philadelphia is going to hand him a 5-year deal or whatever it is for the maximum allowable money after that. So I think that's something to consider. But whatever, they have 2 seasons to figure out, well, really it's going to be 3, to figure out if Harden is the guy to lead them to the promised land. But again, like, I don't know, like, he was clearly hurt in the playoffs last year, but elite in the regular season.
Yep.
There's been like flashes of elite play this year with Harden. An over reliance on a step back. I don't think he's, you know, straight up blowing by guys and creating the creases in the defense as much as he used to. But who knows? Maybe he has been sandbagging it the whole time and he was tired of Kyrie's third eye routine. And, you know, now he's going to be dope again.
Yeah, there's also like there's a world in which I think the Sixers and Harden get exactly what they need from each other, because Harden does not have to take a lot of the usage. He doesn't have to bear a lot of the weight in like the first 3 quarters of a game. Like, Embiid can do that. Tobias Harris is a completely adequate scorer. like on a night to night basis. Maxi is kind of like surging right now. I'm so glad he wasn't in this deal. You can get buckets from Korkmaz. You can get buckets from this team. It's a good deep team. But the thing that has always sort of haunted this team, and I've seen it throughout this regular season too, they're up 18, they're up 11, they're up 9, whatever it is, and the buckets just dry up. The bat, like the hoop just gets small for this team down the stretch, whether it's Embiid flags at the end of games or whatever. So a perfect version of this is James Harden, playmaker scorer at the end of games for the Sixers, solving the biggest problem that this team had. And if they get that, maybe they complement one another just perfectly. Like that's my ideal version of this. I don't know if I'm just like high on my own supply right now, though.
I forget if it was you, Chris, or you, Bill, but in part one, you mentioned how like in OKC, Harden was like this Manu Ginobili type. He could grow into that.
Yeah.
And I think with Philadelphia, there's going to be some nights where he resembles that and Embiid is the one carrying the load. But there will be nights James Harden looks like the James Harden we've always known. I think to your point, Chris, that speaks to it like in an individual game. I mean, end game situations, it's going to be Harden a lot. And we're going to see a lot more pick and roll between him and Embiid. They've just never had that guy who could force those switches and create mismatches for your offense. I think this is going to aid their offense significantly down the stretch of those games.
Yeah, it's funny.
Anybody happier than Chris besides Tobias Harris about this trade, by the way?
Tobias Harris.
I'm off the hook again.
So when the Sixers make the second round or the conference finals but lose, Tobias Harris is the latest recipient of the Oklahoma City maximum cap space room. And like, and then that will give the Sixers a slot and Daryl
can be
the third star. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lounge. You know, you're talking about Embiid and Harden. So we see like think about Shaq and Kobe. Those guys were perfect because Shaq in the last 4 minutes of the game, you just didn't want to go to him because you were so afraid he was going to get fouled. And then he was afraid that he was going to get fouled. And Kobe was able to grab those last 4 minutes. And that was one of the reasons, you know, especially the 2001 team, I think is one of the best teams I've ever seen. Embiid's not like that. Embiid is the rare center. And I know the stats about how they've blown leads and stuff like that. To me, that's more a function of that they don't have a real point guard. The thing that's been striking to me about Embiid, especially this season, is how easily he's been able to get good shots in the last few minutes because he can do that face-up thing. He's got that weird one-legged thing now. He can like bulldoze people. And I do wonder, like, what's the best outcome if you're up one with 50 seconds left? Who gets the ball? Like all the stuff that people like us love to talk about. But Harden's been kind of used to having the ball in that situation over the years. Embiid has proven this year, like, give me the ball. This is my team. I'm the guy. And I think how Harden integrates into that is the thing I'm going to be watching because we saw him last year in Brooklyn. He's like, okay, we have a ton of scoring. I'm going to be point guard James. I feel like we're going to see point guard James this time, KOC.
Yeah, I think we are going to see that. And he wouldn't want to go here and the Sixers wouldn't necessarily give as much up as they did unless they felt some level of confidence in him embracing that role that you're describing. It's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm so high on this team and what they can be.
Oh, we have some breaking news. You knew it was going to happen, Waz.
Oh, Lord have mercy. What do we got?
Oh, boy.
We have a Kristaps Porzingis trade.
Ooh.
Woj has said, oh, my God. For house. We might have to get house. Porzingis to the Wizards for a package centered on Spencer Dinwiddie.
Oh.
Dinwiddie and Cuban is too perfect.
I'm kind of shocked that they're trading Porzingis. I liked how the Mavs are playing. KOC is stunned.
Yeah.
It just hasn't worked. Wow. Bill. It hasn't worked.
But they were playing the last couple weeks. No?
Him and Luka don't like each other. We know that. Like, it was reported and then it was like, oh, they figured out bygones be bygones. They don't like each other. So KP has probably been sulking over there and doesn't want to be there. And, like, just on the court, it hasn't actually worked the way that they assumed that it would for various reasons. Injuries and just KP's just general
game. See, they're
game.
Just cutting bait.
cutting bait. But I do remember, man, when they traded for KP, it was like, oh my God, the Mavericks are penciled in to, you know, 50 wins no matter what, every single season forever because they have these two young guys. And it's crazy to see that abruptly come to an end already.
KOC, what's your guess for who's in this trade?
Well, so what I was told last night was the Raptors and Mavs were talking with Dragic in a first, which somebody else did report earlier today. And the logic, what I was told from people around the league about that was Dallas would be kind of starting their free agency clock earlier, essentially a salary dump with KP to be able to get to free agency earlier.
There's so nothing ever goes wrong when Dallas is planning for free agency.
Oh my God. Groundhog Day.
That's the way it was spun to me when I heard about the Dragic KP version last night. In this case, like
Davis Bertans is in this deal.
Bertans, yeah.
What
is
a
it.
Night for house! Oh my god!
But with this deal though, I don't think Dallas is necessarily done though, because like we can't forget, there's been so many reports about them going after Jeremy Grant. Getting Dragic would have, or now getting Dinwiddie, does kind of sort of free up Jalen Brunson a little bit now that you have another secondary ball handler. Maybe you flip Brunson and Hardaway Jr. to get Jeremy Grant. Yeah, I mean something. Marcus, I mean, like, there's got to be more here for Dallas. is my feeling from conversations I had last night. We'll see.
Chris, do you want to pour out a 40? For the day when Kristaps Porzingis was a trade asset, because he just got traded for Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans.
I can't believe there's no cryptocurrency involved in this trade somehow. This is the crypto trade. This is the like, here, you take my imaginary currency for your imaginary currency. What a quick romance with Dinwiddie in DC. That was like a 10-day hot and heavy. We're made for each other. Beal talked you into coming. We're off to like the races at the beginning of the regular season. And now House is like just excited to get off money here.
I have a BS pod from like the first 2 weeks of the season where House basically has an orgasm about Dinwiddie and the Wizards for a while. And talks Dinwiddie, he's a calming presence. It just didn't last for us.
They were playing with so much enthusiasm. The continuity was there on offense. The ball was moving. I was like, wow, like they were letting Trez do his thing with the bench units. He had a few 20-point outbursts very early on in the season. I was like, wow, this roster is nicely constructed. They probably on their way to a 6-7 seed, this team, man. This is pretty cool to see. And then it's all just falling apart within the last 6 weeks. And now Bradley Beal's having surgery and his season is over. This is just a terrible turn of events for the Wizards, man.
KOC, I think we can officially start Tank Watch for the Wizards.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. It's time.
Hey, Porzingis, we think your knees need some rest. We're going to give you the last 30 games off, and you're going to be hanging out in this hotel suite with Bradley Beal. That's my guess.
It's a strange move. But, you know, if you do plan on signing Bradley Beal to the 5-year Supermax, at least for as long as KP's playing, be fun to watch those guys together next year. If it even comes to that, we'll see.
You know, do you guys feel like I coming into this, and I think it was mostly because of that Kings deal, even though obviously like they looked pretty good against the Timberwolves, and I know that they were trying to like shore up enough to get into the play-in. But I was kind of feeling like going into this trade deadline that the NBA was starting to feel a little bit more like the MLB with these like very distinct buyers and sellers.
Yeah.
And that we might start to see like Portland style teardowns every year, where it's just like, fuck it. We'll start over again next year. Maybe we keep our one franchise player who mysteriously is going to be absent for the rest of the season and then rebuild in the summer with whatever we can. And it's just this constant turnover. But weirdly, like the Dallases, the Sacramentos, like now you kind of see like these mid-tier teams getting, not Dallas isn't mid-tier, but getting a little bit more pugnacious, getting a little bit more aggressive in the trade market. So I wonder whether it still has its own kind of logic to it and it's not as binary as buying and selling. What do you guys think of that?
Well, KOC's been on the blow it up. He's been on the blow it up mountain for years. This is one of his ringer things.
Not as much anymore though, Bill, because you know, when I was first hired here, the rules were different with the lottery. And like you had a 25% chance to get the number one pick at the time. It's 14% flat now, and the play-in tournament is a factor. I think it's the play-in, Chris, that is really what's creating this situation where teams are both buyers and sellers.
Yeah.
More of hybrids.
The Kings had 21 wins or whatever it was, and they went out big game hunting so that they could get a 10th seed. Never was the case before. Like, they saw the 10th seed as something that was worth pursuing, and they gave up real stuff to try to achieve that. Like, that's just unheard of, you know? And I think more teams would be willing to do that.
So my take, thinking about this for 5 minutes, it's so much fun to get these trades thrown at you. I'm assuming Dallas is just like, Porzingis is a sunk cost. He can't stand the floor. Because even if you look at his game log this year, he plays 19 games. He's healthy from basically the beginning of November all the way through mid-December. And he's given them a 20-8. And he looked pretty good, right? Then he missed 2 games. Then he played 4 more and put up 27, 34, 24, 24. Then he missed 7 games. Then he came back and then the stats go down, the knees weren't as healthy, and now he's missed the last 5. So I guess Dallas is just going, we don't trust this guy. We don't think he's going to be able to stay on the court. We can get out now. Dinwiddie can help us as a bench guard. Bertans, maybe we can salvage him as a shooter, but more importantly, cap space. The problem with the cap space thing is those guys are under contract next year. I don't know. Unless I'm missing something, I don't know how that helps them this summer.
Well, it's one year sooner, or it's not about this summer. It's about the fact that KP has multiple more years than those guys. So it's setting themselves up for 2023 rather than waiting until 2024 or 2025. So they're just getting to it sooner by dumping KP.
That's grim.
I have a hard time buying that.
That's why it's like not all about that. It's also, I think, I mean, we'll see in the next 15 minutes here if something else happens. But even if it's this offseason, Jalen Brunson, now that you have Dragic, and if you hope Dinwiddie can get back to the guy we saw torn ACL, it does free up Jalen Brunson as a guy you're more comfortable trading. And that's a very, very valuable piece. So I think that's a component of it, either whether it happens in the next 15 minutes or whether it happens this offseason.
Yeah, so Porzingis was 33.8 next year, and then 36 in 24, and then was a free agent after that.
A steal. That's a steal. For any team that could get it.
And then the Wizards, we have Bertans, which I thought he had this year and next year at the least, right? Is it more than that? Is it longer? I'm downloading the Spot Track. Spot Track a little slow today. I think, the gateway timeout from Spot Track. Spot Track's like Porzingis. Hold up in a big spot. Oh, here we go. So we have Dinwiddie is 17-18 and some sort of non-guaranteed thing after next season. Bertans, 16-17 in 23-24, but still way less than Porzingis.
Sure.
Does feel like that's another one. Now we have 13 minutes left till the deadline. That's another one where it feels like Dallas has one more trade now.
Yeah, unless Dallas is like trying to recreate Clippers South or something, where they're just going to have like a ton of shooting and a ton of playmaking around. I'm not that I would call Bertans a playmaker, but they're just going to do this perimeter oriented thing. Like that's the most favorable read I can make for this, other than getting off of Porzingis.
I'm a Dinwiddie guy. He's had just a tough season. I've always thought he was pretty underrated in what he was doing in Brooklyn, just manning offenses and his pick and roll operation. But, you know, you wonder how healthy he is at this point, coming off of that injury where it's like his second injury to that same knee. But, you know, I think Luka Ball, it feels like... Jay Kidd has said from the beginning he doesn't want to play Luka Ball. And getting somebody like Dinwiddie who can be an on-ball type of threat to take, like legitimately do that, even though I thought Jalen Brunson was doing a good job of that too, seems to be in the direction of that. Because Jay Kidd feels uneasy about just like, all right, let's let our main guy have a 40% usage every single game and just see where the chips fall.
We'll take a quick break. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How you doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Are you like me, where you're looking at April and you're just thinking, man, there's a lot of sports. There's a lot of podcast content. There's a lot of stuff to watch. I got to make sure I don't lose control of the narrative here. Got to spend time with the family. Got to unwind. Got to spend time with my friends. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up heading into the summer. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time, but therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And when you're feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can give you the help for the tools you need to take care of yourself and recharge, because a full battery is the key to a full life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BillSimmons today to get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/BillSimmons. So Bobby Marks had some info on the Dinwiddie contract. It's 17, 18, and then 18.9 in the third year. 10 million guaranteed, and there's a bunch of bonuses that can be triggered. So they have the 10 million buyout. I just get nervous when Dallas, Chris made that point earlier, when Dallas is paving the way for cap space for free agents, because we haven't seen people go there. All right, 10 minutes to go. KSC, give me one prediction that's going to happen in the next 10 minutes.
We see another Dallas trade.
Waz?
The Jeremy Grant thing has to fall. I feel like there's so many suitors out there. Detroit has to bite on one of them at some point here, and I'll be very interested to see where he ultimately lands, and hopefully it's on a team with some real aspirations this year, because I'm a fan of what he brings to a playoff situation.
Chris?
After watching last night's Lakers-Blazers game, I can't believe Pelinka's phone's not melting in his hand right now, but the other one would just be, I thought Eric Gordon was going to be the thing that got done the easiest and the earliest, and he's still on Houston. So Gordon and Wood and Houston not kind of like using any of that to get more cap draft capital or whatever they want there is pretty interesting that we're 10 minutes out and Eric Gordon's still on Houston.
I'm so glad Chris brought up the Lakers. We somehow haven't talked about them yet.
I thought you might want to spend an hour on it, like the third hour might just be dedicated to the Lakers. Yeah,
I'm just picturing the room right now, right? Their war room. It's like Kurt and Linda Rambis, Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, and maybe Magic on Zoom, because he's probably giving a speech in like Miami or Dallas or something. And that is our brain trust. And maybe LeBron sending some texts. But last night, it seemed like they got broken. And I actually think the outcome is going to be they're just going to tell Westbrook to go away until the summer. Like, just leave.
Stay away from the team?
Yeah. Like, you're not happy. We're not happy. Maybe this is...
You think that's more likely than a coaching change during the All-Star break?
I don't see how a coaching change saves any of this Westbrook stuff.
What's a coaching change?
It's not going to do anything. It's not Frank Vogel's fault. But
is there an...
go ahead, Cassie.
Is there an alternate universe somewhere where LeBron James woke up this morning and demanded a trade?
I saw some of that floating around Twitter. LeBron demanding a trade back to Miami. Like, I saw some of
go
that.
Go back to Cleveland, man. Come on. Go play with Mobley and Garland. Twitter.
And I just can't.
I almost did a tweet today. And I didn't want to start shit because everyone on Twitter is just so uptight during the trade deadline. But like, what would have been the most fun, realistic LeBron trade today? Like, affiliate just said, we can't get James Harden. Yeah. Fuck it. How about
LeBron
Simmons?
Simmons
and Curry for LeBron. And just like what their reactions would have been to that.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
But like, what other fun amazing. LeBron dream? Because it would have to be a team that's a contender, right?
Honestly, like, if there was some way to get LeBron to Cleveland for like the Sexton love, like, and whatever else that you need to make weight, it would just be so awesome to see him go back. And it's like he goes from AD and Westbrook to Garland and Mobley and like just gets completely rejuvenated by going home again. I know it would never happen, but it is very, very, very intoxicating.
Waz, are we sure Cleveland would want to do that?
It's like, yeah, they have like incredible chemistry right now.
No, Dan Gilbert.
Like, oh, cool, LeBron's coming. No, Dan Gilbert wants no parts of that. Like, he's finally put together his first ever winner without LeBron, James. I don't think he would sign off on that. Like, he wants his credit for this team at this point. I've always wondered, like, you know, when when things were going sideways, when Magic was quitting and, like, it was looking bleak for the Lakers there. And at the end of that first LeBron year, I was wondering what would happen if the Lakers were just like, you know what, we're done with this whole thing. We're just going to trade LeBron and just be a regular team and start with young guys. And I just wondered, like, what if they did, like, a Charlotte? Like, what if they trade LeBron to, like, a crappy market that wasn't Cleveland, right? Like, he didn't want any parts of. And I was, you know, I was just thinking about stuff like Sacramento or possibly Memphis or New Orleans. Like, that's what I was thinking at the end of that season. I wonder if a team, like, got spiteful, like the Lakers, and was just like, we're going to trade you to the highest bidder and, like, we're not going to take any of your opinions into account, what that would be like for LeBron to just be powerless in a situation, just be shipped off.
Like, if he went to, like, Atlanta. He's like, oh, yeah, LeBron, we've sent you to Atlanta.
Atlanta of 2019, though. This Atlanta, like, that would be a freaking good situation for him right now.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking, like, what would be a trade that he would kind of talk himself into, even though he'd be mad they traded him?
A team would definitely not talk himself into is the Orlando Magic. Could you imagine?
Oh my God.
But, yeah, like, you know, even though he had, like, his grumbles about them the other night, it would be like, LeBron on Memphis would be amazing. I can't believe we're actually doing, like, 5 minutes on this. But, like,
I think this is I'm having such a good time.
But LeBron on Memphis would be like, do I need to move to Memphis?
What if Brooklyn called and said, we'll give you Kyrie and the two first round picks we've gotten for LeBron?
I think the Lakers say no.
KOC kind of paused.
What if the Nets just said, we'll flip you Ben Simmons
for LeBron?
Wow.
Right now.
Wow. Wow.
And what if they call a couple minutes before the deadline? They call Palenka. We'll give you Ben Simmons and two firsts for LeBron James.
How do you feel about trading the king? Yeah. Wow.
Would that be amazing. Would that be the new greatest moment in Twitter history?
LeBron has been traded for Ben Simmons.
And a second round pick in 2027. And that's a trade. Goodness. Yeah, if you're the Lakers, I don't know what happened to Davis last night. I don't know where his head's at. I also don't really know why he's that unhappy. Like, you chose to come to the Lakers. You're playing with LeBron. He's healthy. He's right there. Why can't the two of you kick ass against this shit Portland team? Who cares who your other three teammates are? I feel like they're taking a hit legacy-wise. I just can't believe that they're this overmatched. It's not like they're playing with, like, three guys they picked out of the first row. They're playing with
NBA
players.
Here's what I think about AD. I think, to him, he doesn't want to lift a finger unless it actually matters. That's just my opinion. That's what it seems like.
Who the fuck is he? Bill Russell?
I have no idea, bro. He's just wired that way. It just feels like AD is not, you know, he's the antithesis of whatever Kevin Garnett has inside of him. That's what AD is. You know, he's a supremely talented guy. Obviously, he's a good dude or whatever. But, like, as far as, like, fire and passion and motor and, like, this idea that he's going to come out and rip people's heads off every single night, that's not him.
It's never been him. It's weird because you'd think by at least AD and LeBron, because they've been on the Lakers for a few years now, they would know this. But, like, teams are now, they smell the blood in the water. And it's like, Portland didn't quit on that game last night. Portland wasn't like, oh, we'll lay down. The whole point here is to get nuked so that we get high draft. They were like, we're getting after these guys. Like, Nurkic wanted AD last night. Just same way Giannis wanted AD the other night. Like, there's a little bit of, like, the king is weak, let's go after him happening with the Lakers. And I don't know how they dig themselves out of this, especially not if they don't make any friggin' trades in the next 120 seconds.
I was trying to figure out a Miami trade just now. Duncan Robinson and Kyle Lowry for LeBron?
I mean the fact that we're spending so much time on just the theoretical possibility speaks to how realistic superstar trades have become.
Yes.
I mean, Harden says I want to go to Brooklyn, Philly, Milwaukee, or Miami. He gets to go to Brooklyn. He says he wants to go to Philly. He gets to go to Philly.
No,
LeBron. This offseason,
we misheard him. He said he wanted to go to all of those teams. So he's just going to have like a carousel.
And he's on a world tour.
Next Christmas, he's going to be like, Wisconsin.
Here's the real reason that he would never want to get traded. For the same reason I wouldn't want to get traded. He gets to watch his kids play sports. There's nothing more fun than that. Yeah. He likes his life.
No, he doesn't think ultimately he's
fine.
And Jeannie would not sign off on that. Like to stab LeBron in the back, it goes against her one like coherent thing, which is we take care of superstars when they come here. And that's like one of the biggest things about the Lakers is like, if you're a superstar, then you come here, we're going to take care of you. We're going to cater to your needs. And to do that to LeBron, that's like goes against all of the equity she's built in that marketing campaign.
All right. We just had to redo the last 3 minutes because there was a fake Chris Haynes tweet that made the circles for the Toronto-Houston trade. But we do have a trade. We have the Celtics trading Dennis Schroeder to the Houston Rockets in a package for Daniel Theis. Sing it, Waz.
I'm coming home, coming home. Tell the world that I'm coming. Sully's going to be really happy about this, Bill.
Tell Bill's dad I'm coming home.
Tell Bill's dad, get ready to watch me get elbowed in the mouth by something that's not called a flagrant foul. Stevens loved him. I always thought they traded him because Stevens played him too much, but now Stevens is the GM. So Stevens is like, I still love him. He's back. So now the Derek White trade makes a little more sense, KOC.
Yeah, it does. I mean, that answers our question here. It wasn't Marcus Smart that got freed up. It was Dennis Schroeder. Theis is okay. He's all right. Makes some sense for Boston to shuffle the deck here.
I, for one, cannot wait to watch the Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, Dennis Schroeder, three-headed monster in the backcourt.
So is that our first all-German trade? Two German guys traded for each other? We might have made NBA history with that.
We need a lot of sports on that.
Yeah.
Bro, Dennis Schroeder was locked in to something like $90 million or something crazy like that with the Lakers. He turned it down because he was so sure they were going to have a deep playoff run and he was going to get like 100-something. And now he's in Houston on just a tankathon that's probably going to be a tankathon for the foreseeable future. Oh, man.
Well, my guess is he gets bought out, right? And then he becomes a potential buyout guy for Milwaukee. Would be how I think this would play out. So this could...
Or the Lakers.
The Lakers could use him, man.
I mean,
the Lakers could use him, dude.
Do you think Dennis would go back to the Lakers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe somebody, I mean, I saw something this morning about Schroeder.
He said he wanted to go back to the Lakers.
Yeah, there's
even
yeah,
outside of not getting the deal that he wanted, and they were just like, you know, whatever.
Oh, Enes Freedom and Bruno Fernando were in that deal as well. I got to say, I kind of like Bruno Fernando. I thought he had some pretty good moments in garbage time where you're like, wait, this guy seems like an NBA player.
So it's
tough break for Enes Freedom, Tea Party legend. Tough break for him.
Yeah. At 12:04.
Texas could be a good fit.
Jeremy Grant's still a Piston.
Yep.
The Lakers have not made a deal. We haven't heard about any like faxes coming in.
Yep.
That's pretty shocking, man.
We're going to wrap up part two right now. Chris Ryan, you're leaving us. Any farewell words? We're going to come back and hopefully there'll be some more trades. Any farewell words to your fans, to the Sixers Nation, to James Harden, to Ben Simmons?
Fear the beard.
You have the floor.
Fear the beard. I've long since, you know, everybody knows how much I love Harden. And it's just an amazing union of city and player. And it's just, I can't wait for the Harden era to get started.
Do you love him more or less than Gordon Willis, famous cinematographer in the 70s and 80s?
A little bit less.
All right. Well, good luck with the beard. I can't wait to get the text complaining. KOC and Waz are sticking around. We're going to bring in Kyle Mann. We are coming back. That was the end of part two. And we'll be back in a couple minutes, hopefully with some trades.